Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show of PLR. This is PLR. Thank you for hanging out with me today. It is the 9th of July, Friday, the day after Game 2 of the NBA Finals. You know what? I'm running out of superlatives. The Suns are just balling. They're basically looking at the Bucks and singing that old song, how do you want it? How do you want this defeat? How do you want to take this? You want to take it death by threes? Death by mid-range? Death by free throws? Death by defense? Absolutely incredible. So we're going to break this game down. We got a lot of information, a lot of sound about this game. Jose Romero, Arizona Republic sports writer, will be joining me at about 15 minutes, and we'll break down last night's victory. And today I want to have some fun. And Jose, I didn't give him this full topic, but I want to have some fun. I want to play this game called Sports Myths That Fans Believe, Even When Facts Are Smacking Them in the Face. Sounds like a long game, so I'll never get it on TV, right? Because the game sounds too long. Game sounds way too long, so I'll never get it on TV, but I definitely can get it on air here for sure. Lots of news and notes about other happenings in the world of sports as well throughout the show. Other things that we're bringing up, we have Tony Capobianco, the Cuban Cowboy. He'll be joining us for our last segment today, quarter till the hour. We'll get caught up with baseball and all the good stuff that's happening with baseball. Looking forward to talking to him. Always looking forward to talking to him. He's actually going to be at the All-Star game, so I have a couple of questions about that. So we'll get into that, like I said, towards the end of the hour when he gives a call in. We'll open up phone lines as well in a little bit, 917-889-7828, 917-889-7828. Like I said, a lot to discuss here on the Cave Show today. We'll get it all done. Let's get this bad boy started. We're brought to you by Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's Alma School and Chandler Heights. Get your butt down there. Check them out. Let them know that PLR sent you 10% off of your cigar purchase. You can also become a member. Get your access to the VIP lounge. Lock your bags up to a humidor, refrigerator. I've everything to make it seem like home. They serve beer and wine. Sit down, watch all the games, watch every sporting event possible. They have all the league passes. Now, if you don't want to become a member, there's no issue there. Still plenty of spaces for you to sit, enjoy, watch TVs, and enjoy the games. They have one of the best cigar selections in the Valley, so get down there and check them out. If you can't make it, no worries. Just go to Stogie World, S-T-O-A-G-I-E world.com. Order your sticks online early enough in the day, and they will ship out the exact same day. All this happens, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. And like I said, if you do make your way down there, let them know that PLR sent you, you get 10% off. Let's open up the phone lines before we get Jose calling in, like I said, in about 10 minutes or so. Call in number 917-889-7828. Do have a call on hold. Thank you for your patience. Cave Show with PLR.
Hey, Paul, how are you?
Lou, my friend, how are you today?
Well, it's 2-0 now for the Suns. So far, it looks like my prediction may come true.
So how do you look at this? When you see a team up two, do you say, well, all they did was protect home. They did what they were supposed to do. We'll see what happens when they leave Milwaukee. Or do you say, you know what? They've kicked their butt, and I don't see what they're going to do changing. What do you – how do you take those games?
I can say that I think that the Bucks had to work that out for them. I mean, if they don't win game three on Sunday, you can kiss this goodbye. I told you.
Do you think they can make the necessary changes to do that?
If they don't do it in game three, forget it. This is do or die.
Do you think they can, though?
Fight for it. Can they? Yes. Will they? That's another story. Milton can't do this by himself, like I said.
I'm going to put the coach's hat on you. What do you have to do to change this around?
Gregory's got to step up. I know he's been playing, but he's got to do more. You know, the way he's going right now, if he doesn't put up, you know, more to it, it's going to be four and out.
Here's what's funny. What more can he do? You know what I mean? If a guy gets 42 points, what else can he do?
42 points. Ugh. You know, this is not – I mean, look, the Suns have been the strong team all year, and you know, we know how the Bucks has been, but I really didn't think that the Bucks were going to hang in there with the Suns, to be honest with you. I mean, this is going exactly as I planned, as I thought it would.
Yeah, no, I'm with you 100%. I agree. I just think the Suns are too complete of a team.
Yeah, they really are.
They're a really good team that's flown under the radar for an awfully long time. And you don't get the second best record in the NBA, especially in the West, if you're not a really good team. And when you look at some of the teams in the NBA, and so I look at it like this. Let's talk about their efficiencies, but also let's talk about their deficiencies. And when you talk about the deficiencies of some of the teams in the league, you're really looking at, okay, so where are some of these other teams? Yeah, the Utah Jazz had an incredible season, but where were they weak? They couldn't defend the wings. I mean, that's a true weakness for them. They can't defend wings. When you look at the Lakers, okay, Lakers have LBJ and they have Anthony Davis, but where's their weakness? Well, Anthony Davis can't stay healthy.
That's a weakness.
That's a weakness, and they have no backcourt. So as you start to break down some of these games, you start to say, wait a second. If I'm going to look for all their efficiencies, let's look for these other teams' deficiencies. And when you look at the Suns, you have to start really stretching to find their deficiencies. They got a good backcourt. This was supposed to be a center that wasn't always locked in. Well, he looks pretty locked in now. You got wing defenders. You got three-point shooting. You literally have a little bit of everything that you need to win a title. So, I just think this team is built for this.
I'm afraid so.
So
luckily like I said, at least the Stanley Cup Finals, you know, resolved before Sunday, because if that was to go to game seven, you would have both finals in the same night, and that would be ridiculous.
Especially for hockey, because casual fans would not have tuned in.
That's right.
You would have got
the true sight of seventh game.
Yeah, you would have got the true fans. But the casual fan, they would not have tuned in.
Right, but still, that would be a big mistake. A big mistake.
Yeah, well, I mean, hell, it'd be too late. And I can tell you this, neither team. Here's the one good thing, though, Lou. Seriously, when you stop and think about it, they don't really share an audience.
No, but to go two finals up on the same night at the same time, I mean, you know, that's, you know.
Oh, no, I agree. I agree with you. Yeah, no, I agree with you, but they don't. That's the one good thing. They don't share an audience. So by not sharing an audience, it has to be able to help them a little bit. You know what I mean? Because if they shared an audience.
So what you're saying is that most basketball fans are not hockey fans and vice versa.
Correct.
Well, I'm in the minority of that section.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always going to be, you know, anomalies or a couple of people here and there. But for the most part, and then even the fans that are fans of both, depending on where you are, will determine what game you would watch. You know, I expect hardcore hockey fans to watch more hockey. I would expect hardcore basketball fans to watch more basketball. And I would expect, obviously, those in the middle to watch the game that is more aesthetically pleasing on television. And in all honesty,
if you're able to clone yourself, that'd be no problem. I mean, your normal self can probably watch basketball, and your clone can watch the hockey. There you go.
Yeah. Oh, I hear
you. It's illegal.
I hear
you.
It is. Although I will say this, I sometimes believe I cloned my youngest son because he really does look exactly like me, except better. Thank goodness.
Oh, boy. All right. I know Tony's coming on, so I'll leave it at that.
All right, my friend. Always great to catch up with you.
Thanks, Paul.
Good friend and program, Lou. Always good to catch up with him. He is a diehard hockey guy. Hopefully he has a good weekend as we get ready for an additional. There is no additional hockey game. That's right. They're done. So I was about to say, so you can get ready for hockey, but there is no more. Tampa Bay has won again. So let's see. Tampa Bay has the Super Bowl trophy, Lord Stanley Cup's trophy. They were in the World Series for last year in baseball. It fell a little short. It's analytics. And they need a basketball team. Someone's got to move down there. Coming up next, we have the one, the only Jose Romero, Arizona Republic sports writer. He's going to be joining me. Like I said, I want to talk about the Suns. We only got him for about 15 minutes, but I want to play this game. Crazy things that fans say. And I want to ask him, what's the craziest thing a fan has ever said to him in regards to trade or all of that type stuff? We'll do that right here on the Cave Show with PLR. Be back in 30 seconds.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
You never know what you'll hear on The Cave Show.
Here's the bottom line. If people were having great sex, we'd have world peace.
You know, one day I was riding around with a friend, and the alarm on my watch went off. And I turned to my friend and I said, "Hey, shut up. Because I need to listen to The Cave Show with PLR."
Welcome back to The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. It is Friday, the 9th of July. Thank you for joining us today on The Cave Show with PLR. If you ever miss this live show at 1 o'clock, all you got to do is go to sportscave.com, hit that Listen Live button. It will route you to all of our shows. Find one that you like, want to hear it again, find one that maybe you missed. Or if it's 1 o'clock, just hit the Listen Live button, and there we are. Remember, too, you can always get us on Spotify at iHeartRadio. Download us. Make sure that you are there when our updates and new shows appear. The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. Coming up next, this is my guy here. I love to catch up with him. He has insights on everything. And I always tell him, he's beating time. He still looks 21 years old. I bet he still gets carded if he has to buy a cigar. This is my man, Arizona Republic sports writer, Jose Romero. Romero, what's up, my man?
Senor Pablo, how's it going, man?
How are you today?
I'm good, man. We're just, you know how it is when you're getting ready to go somewhere and like on a vacation and it's like crazy all around the house and you got kids and you're trying to wrangle them and pack things at the last minute. So that's where we're at right now. So this is a nice little break from all that.
You know what? I wish I knew what that was like because my wife packs up everything. And when I try to help, I get more in the way than if I do absolutely nothing. Then I feel like I'm doing nothing because I'm doing absolutely nothing, if that makes sense.
No, totally does. Like, I'm doing me, and then I'm cooking lunch for the kids. So we're just going. We're just going from there.
I hear you. So the Valley is riding this wave that the Phoenix Suns have put everyone on. And the energy in that building is just insane. Before we even talk about the game, can you just talk about the energy that Suns fans are bringing from inside that building after enduring games?
I just, like, it's almost like we're living in a different universe. Like it's just a different world we live in right now. I mean, this team is on the cusp of a title, and there's no way we were even thinking about that even a year ago. Even when they were winning in the bubble, did we really think that 8-0 in the bubble translated into a championship run? I mean, and the crowd is just, it's so wild. Like, you know what? The people I'm happiest for, aside from the longtime generations of fans that have lived in this community forever and have followed the Suns, aside from them, I'm happy for guys like you and Dave King and Gerald Borgé and Kellen Olsen and, you know, Gina and everybody who has hung in there with this team through the bad times and covered them and seen a lot of really bad basketball. And now guys like you and them get to enjoy the good times and the good moments. And that's the joy in it for me. I'm making it a point at every time, you know, every media availability or every game I go to just approach those people and say, I'm really happy for you guys. And the fans are just, I mean, what can you say, man? It's like, it's such a different world. Like, 2 years ago, we're sitting in, you know, sitting courtside working for AP, and it's just, you know, super quiet, and their fans are taking their time getting back from halftime. And, you know, the first row on courtside is empty until the fourth quarter, and it's just a different world. People are just so into this. I mean, they're standing out there in the heat. I mean, 113, 14 degrees, and they're waiting in line to get in to the arena when it opens. And it's super hot. Like, who would have done that? It was so easy to just walk right into the arena back just a couple of years ago. And now you got to wait. And then I'm happy. I'm happy for everybody. I'm excited for everybody. I love going in there and seeing the atmosphere. And, I mean, just think of the future if this thing really happens.
It will be totally insane. And you know what? I appreciate you saying what you said. And you are 100%. You said it to me right before game five, and I should have a T-shirt. Obviously, I can't, but it should say "I survived Lance Blanks." But I know I can't get that shirt, but it would be cool just to say, or look, I survived and put all the players that came through that you knew were like, how we draft or sign them, like, what was the purpose? But you know what? You never want to kick dirt on someone, so I'm going to let that one slide. But I do want to ask you a question. There's something Chris Paul said last night, and I'm going to play it, and I just want you to kind of talk about what this quick quote means to you. Here we go.
Book had 70 in the game before. You know what I mean? So you don't do that being shy. You don't do that being shy. And like I said, he puts the work in. That's what a lot of people don't see. You see the games. You don't see all the shots after practice and all this different type of stuff. So he built for it. He built for it. And like I said, that was something that I saw before I came here. And it's nice to be on his team.
Romero, I play that because I'm going back on Booker here specifically. And all we heard from all the national media now, they're all professing how good they knew he was. And, you know, I cry BS to that because for the longest, all we heard was, this is a guy that can score on a bad team. This is a guy that won't, you know, we don't know if he can do it when it's really time, when the lights are the brightest, will he be able to do it? We know he can score on a bad team. Oh, and he got that 70 in Boston. Yeah, but they lost. So, well, who really cares about the 70 points? And can't believe they actually celebrated it. Now all of a sudden, this dude is a bucket getter in big games and everything else. How happy are you to see this young man's reputation completely flip? And now everyone who had the naysays, all of a sudden they knew it all the time.
Paul, I'm going to take you back to the late 80s and a rapper named Biz Markie. He rapped a song called The Vapors. And that song was about people who got in, he crossed paths with when he was young and gave him a bad time and didn't take his career for granted. You know, they didn't respect his career. They didn't respect his skills or his cousin or whatever. And that was what the song Vapors was about. And that is exactly what a lot of these national media types have right now, the Vapors, because they are, you know, I heard this line of question because another player, Jay Crowder, I believe, was asked a similar question, was asked about Booker the same way Chris Paul was. And I couldn't believe my ears. I'm like, they're really asking if this guy is shying away from the moment? I mean, he clearly hasn't. I mean, I think the national media guys have asked some pretty good questions, you know, on the Zoom calls and stuff for the most part. But this one befuddled me. I didn't really understand it. And I think that this is just sweet vindication for a guy like Booker. And, you know, he's kind of too big of a guy. You know, it's not in his realm to just blow it out there, put it out there and say, look, stop disrespecting me. I'm not too sharp for the moment. I'm built for this. He's not going to, like, you know, prop himself up. But you know that inside,
right,
he's hearing it. He's feeling it. And this is just sweet vindication for him on a national stage, where he can go out there and put together big games, big performances, and show everybody, I've been able to do this, you know, since I came out of Kentucky. And the Sun saw it. Nobody else saw it. Nobody else in the national media ever saw it until now.
Yep, I'm with you. I'm with you 100%. I'm very happy for him and all these guys. And we could talk about how they signed the right guys, they drafted the right guys, and they've done so much well over the last 2 years. But there's something I said, and I'm glad the Suns, and I hope they prove me wrong. And I'm going to give you my logic here very, very – I'm trying to condense this. I said the Suns will win the series in six if Giannis plays. They'll win it in seven if he doesn't play. And I said that because I had a firm belief that Milwaukee's coach cannot make adequate adjustments on the fly. And he can't make in-game adjustments. And he hasn't figured out how to use one of the top 5-10 players in the league and let him play in the sandbox to do what he does and accentuate all the positives that his teammates do. And when Giannis is going off, it's like everyone is watching. When he's out the game speeds up. Drew Holiday finds a little rhythm. Middleton finds a little rhythm. Brooke Lopez is able to go inside and do his thing. And then Giannis comes back, and it all starts over again. And I just didn't feel like Budenholzer has, for whatever reason, he doesn't know how to make everything work. He can't make chocolate chip cookies. Once he puts the chocolate chips in, the whole cookie falls apart. And am I being, in your opinion, am I being unfair to Milwaukee's coach?
Well, I think that's a really interesting point you bring up. I mean, you know, we all want to believe, you know, when we see it on the surface, we see Giannis blow up for 42 points, whatever he had last night, and it's like, wow, this guy is just everything that an MVP is, you know, and he has been. But I'm listening to you, and I'm like, I'm thinking back to the Atlanta series that they played, and they won the last two games to clinch that series without him. So, yeah, and so and that kind of proves your point right there. You know, we saw the Bucks, you know, execute really well with the personnel that they had without Giannis. And I think that sort of just proves your point. I think it is interesting that you put the coach involved with this, Budenholzer involved with, you know, coaching him up and making the decisions and the right calls, because I think there is definitely something to be said for that. You know, Giannis took over the game on the Bucks side, and the rest of the guys, you know, Middleton went cold. You know, didn't even really provide much. So it's a really interesting point on your part, and I would find some validity in that.
On air on the Cave Show, the one and only Jose Romero, Arizona Republic sports writer, does a great job over there, covers everything, reading stuff. So I want to do this because I know we're short on time here. So I want to play this quick game. I didn't even give you a warning because I thought about it like too late, and it's this game. It's called Dumb Crap Fans Say, Even When You Hit Them With Facts. So I had a fan tell me, and I want to ask you if you've heard any of this nonsense before, not this specific, but just things fans say. So I had someone tell me last night that the Suns are going to re-up Booker and pay him his $250 million because he's one of the best players in the league. To that I said, they can't, because you can't renegotiate an NBA guaranteed contract. They have to wait until 22-23 when he's a year out, and then they can offer him his next extension, which will probably be in the realm of the $250 million. Oh, no, they better re-up him now or he's leaving next year. You know they got these crazy things called contracts. they can't just leave. So get into a discussion with this person. Can't convince them you can't renegotiate contracts, even though it was black and white. Have you ever had a fan, or just listening in the air, someone just say something and you're just shaking your head like, what the hell are they talking about?
Yeah, I mean, you come across that, you know, every now and then. I think covering hockey, you know, I get a few of those, you know, maybe Twitter replies or something like that. And it's crazy because, you know, as writers, as people in the media, we have to sort of decipher those things and figure out the contracts and figure out the money and the salary caps and the bonuses and this, that. So because you have to take so much time to be wary of that and know about it, you know, you are prepared when someone comes at you with some kind of nonsense like that. And, yeah, I think it's the time that we live in, right? I mean, people are just kind of, I want answers now. I want solutions now. How do we get Devin Booker back in the fold? How do we keep him forever locked up, long-term, some forever? And you're absolutely right. I mean, you know, a contract is a contract unless he's traded. You know, somebody else picks up that contract if the Suns pay part of it or whatever. Tough. I mean, you know, all you can do as a guy in our business is just sort of educate and leave it at that. And, you know, people just are going to keep saying what they want to say. But I think this town has enough knowledgeable fans that they understand the rules and how these things work.
My favorite one, though, are Laker fans still to this day. Oh, well, they're going to get someone to help LeBron. You do know they have no cap money. Oh, but they'll figure it out. Right. But they'll just trade Kuzma for Bill. Who would take that trade? And
right.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because the Lakers want it to happen. Okay, Laker fans.
Oh, you should have seen all of the trade proposals. My buddy Aaron Fentress covers the Trailblazers back home, and he put out on Twitter all of these crazy trade proposals he was getting from Laker fans who want Damian Lillard so bad. And one of them was you know, Kuzma for Lillard in a draft, you know, Kuzma in a draft pick or a second rounder for Lillard. I'm like, what are you thinking? I mean, why would they even think about that for even a millisecond?
Here's what makes that so funny. Here's why I'm laughing. I know someone who told me that. They'll give him Kuzma and three first-round picks. And then I reminded him, They don't have any first-round picks. They gave them all to New Orleans. So those are gone. Yeah, well, they'll give them the picks. After those picks, then they'll give them the first-round picks. After those picks. And I literally said, do you want Portland's GM to have 24-hour security? Because if he trades Kuzma or Dame Lillard for Kyle Kuzma, he'll have to have police surveillance around his house 24 hours a day. So there's no way he can live in Portland again.
Yeah, so, and then even if you do go the draft pick route, the franchise is going to, like, die. The franchise will never be able to recover from 7 years of rebuilding. So, yeah.
I love that.
That's a city where winning is really important to the fans in Portland. They're not going to tolerate, a long rebuild.
Exactly. Yo, man, I know you got to get to vacation. Tell everyone where they can find you. Check all your stuff out and enjoy your vacation. Well deserved.
For the next 6 days, you can find me on some beach along the Oregon coast. No, but really. if anybody out there listening who's going out there, I'll be somewhere on the 300 miles of pristine Oregon oceanfront. But in reality, always available, always reachable on Twitter, Romero Jose M. And also on the website of the Arizona Republic, I got a bunch of stories I've written. I've written about the Coyotes lately and obviously the Suns, and I do some Diamondbacks. Just like you said, man, I'm trying to be a jack of all trades and, trying to help out wherever I can. It's a team effort.
Well, I'm not the writer that you are, but I can give you some Diamondback news. They're real bad. Okay, there you go. Your story's written. Just repeat that phrase until you get to 2,500 words, and your article's done for you.
Well, we love baseball anyway, right? We're glad we have a team, and someday their fortunes will hopefully look up. But yeah, it's tough. Thank goodness we have a great title run here that we can follow daily and hourly. It's good times.
And be distracted, because you're right. We've been out there before. We've lived through the Lance Blanks of baseball too, so we understand. Yo, my man, be safe, enjoy your family, and look forward to catching up with you when you get back from your well-deserved vacation.
Yeah, hopefully. If it's not swept, I'm hopeful I can be at a game five. So, yeah.
All righty, my friend. Take care and be careful. I appreciate you.
Thank you, Paul. Have a good one, man.
All right, buddy. That's my man, Jose Romero. Incredible writer. If I could write half as good as him, I would be happy. You're talking about trading? That's like trading, the real Space Jam, not this second one that they're coming out with, but the real one. That's like me trading my talent for the Monstars. It's just not the same. Definitely check my man out over at the Arizona Republic. We come back, I want to play some sounds, some interviews from the game last night. We'll get everything caught up. It is Friday. It is July 9th. And this is The Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR.
Don't just smoke your cigar, enjoy your cigar at Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located at 4991 South Alma School. That's on the corner of Alma School in Chandler Heights. There's numerous TVs for viewing while you smoke your cigar, or better yet, become a club member and enjoy the member lounge. That's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco.
Hey, this is Mikal Bridges with the Phoenix Suns. I'm in a cave with PLR.
Welcome back to the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. Yes, I'm ready for the weekend, but if that don't get you ready for the weekend, nothing will get you ready for the weekend. Suns took it to the Bucks again, 118-108 to take a 2-0 lead. Going back to Milwaukee, fear the deer, I don't think the Suns do. I've stated 1,000 times, I don't know what the Bucks can do. In fairness to Budenholzer, he did make an adjustment. He cut off temporarily, cut off the paint to start the game. Milwaukee came out with their punch. But you know they would. Listen, the Bucks aren't in the finals because they suck. The Bucks are in the finals because they're a really good team. And in a lot of ways, I think they do things in spite of the adjustments that are never made. But there was an adjustment made. But by making the adjustment to cut off the paint, they left the three-point line open. And the Suns proceeded to shoot 20 of 40. Because some of those looks, even though they were late contests, were good looks. And the Suns took that punch in the first quarter. They never let Milwaukee run away. They kept them at arm's length. And then in the second quarter, they flexed their muscle with their defense.
The first quarter was a storm of aggression from them, attacking the paint, offensive rebounding. And we talked about it all morning. We studied game two versus Atlanta, and that was their way to attack Atlanta in that game two after a loss, was to just get to the paint. And so we knew that was coming, and they're a good team. It's not like, you know, this is the finals and they're giving a finals effort. But I like the fact that our guys just stayed the course and showed poise, and we were down three. And then in the second quarter, which I felt like won the game for us, our defense was at a high, high level. We held those guys to 16 points. And so that ended up being the difference. You know, obviously you have to do more in the second half, but the second quarter defense was tremendous.
And it's true. The Suns turned it up. Listen, Giannis had a hell of a game. Bunch of points, bunch of rebounds. But he never got anyone else involved. Never. And he may have looked around. He gave the Newt Rockne speech on the sideline, you know, imploring his teammates, let's go, come on, let's do this. We got this, come on, let's go. Let's stop him, come on. I don't really know if that's what they needed. They needed someone to set them up in the right spot, someone to get them going in a different way. Chris Middleton, listen, I don't care what you say about him. He's not a 5-for-16 shooter in the NBA. He's better than that. Jrue Holiday isn't a 7-for-21 shooter. He's better than that. He just is. Brooke Lopez, 4-for-10 shooter. He's better than that. So it's a combination of defense and getting the ball where you need it. Look, I used to be hard on a Phoenix Sun player here. And even though I love his game, I like the way he played, I like his heart, I like his tenacity. But I used to say this about Stephon Marbury a lot. I know a lot of you are like, oh, wow, that's an old name. But I used to say, I think Stephon Marbury gets empty assist. I think he gets empty assist. I think he gets assist, but they're either late or they're not in a situation where it's a big pass or this was the right time to make the right play. It's kind of like Sammy Sosa when he said some home runs with the Cubs. Yeah, they were down by four, solo homer. They're up by seven. Solo homer. So, yeah, the home runs, the numbers look great, but they were never meaningful. Giannis had four assists last night. He shot well, 15 of 22. He didn't even stink up completely the free throw line, 11 of 18. And he had a plus on the plus-minus numbers, and you know I hate those numbers. But if he's the only one with the plus-minus and the positive, and everybody else is a negative, they may as well have bought a ticket and sat their asses down in the stadium and just watched the game. Because not only were they not involved, he didn't get them involved and keep them in rhythm. He never found a rhythm for them. Jay Crowder talked about the defensive coverages and the changes.
I just think we just never let them get comfortable. We talked about it. We just wanted to give a lot of different looks to him, not let him see the same coverages over and over. Obviously, these guys do a good job, but when you play the same way, same style of defensively, they pick you apart. So we just try to give him a lot of different looks and make it as tough as possible on him. Obviously, he's a hell of a player. He's their one of their go-to players. So we just want to make it as difficult as possible. I think Mikal Bridges did a great job on him all night.
And they're talking about, he's talking about Chris Middleton. And I don't know if you remember, but before game one, that was one of the things I said, put Bridges on Middleton. Don't guard traditional one guards to one, two guards to two, three guards to three, four guards to four, but mix that up. Mix that up. And then Jay again was asked, you know, what do they have to do this, do that?
I'm not really into coaching those guys. I'm trying to beat them. So I don't really know the correct answer to that. We're just trying to beat them.
Love that. Absolutely love that answer. I don't give a damn. You want me to tell them how we're going to guard them? You want me to help them? But they're good. And their sons, listen, I tell my team, I only coach 10-year-olds, 12-year-olds, you play with confidence, not with arrogance. The Suns have handled this team. They're not playing them with arrogance. They're playing them with confidence because, as Book said, they're a good team.
To be completely honest, you know, I think the whole playoff experience, you know, helped it tone it down a bit because I feel like we've seen a lot of situations and different coverages and, you know, we've been through it all. Through the regular season and stressing the details of the game. So, you know, I think we're prepared for this moment. You know, obviously Milwaukee is no slouch and they make it tough on us and they're always going to make it tough on us. But, you know, we've seen a lot as a team.
Book is killing it. Book just daggered their heart over and over and over. And it's expected. Chris Paul expects it up.
Big time. He could tell you better than I can, but he's been trained and worked his whole life for these moments, you know, and our team all season long has been, you know, you put the work in, you live with the results. So if Book shoot it, I expect it to go in. I get mad at him when he don't shoot, you know, so big shots.
Everyone is saying he's built for this. Book is just built for this. He just never had the opportunity. But he's dope.
I mean, the guys work on it. You know, we have a let it fly mentality. Our guys shoot a ton of shots every day, as everybody does in the NBA. But those are the moments that he lives for. He doesn't run from it. I've seen it from him for 2 years. He just steps up and makes big plays. You know, in that moment, I think one of them, he set a great screen. They had the help. He popped out. He knocked it down. And you know, the thing about Devin, he shoots the same way first quarter, fourth quarter, it doesn't matter. His shot looks the same. That's a guy that's put a ton of work and, in his shot, but the mentality, he's calm in those moments. And so, we're grateful for those, contributions in those moments.
And here's what's crazy. So what Milwaukee did, and I give them credit for this. And Monty talked to DeAndre Ayton and told him, you know, hey, we need to get in this. You set a benchmark for yourself. You set a benchmark. It was Mikal Bridges who struggled in the series before. And Monty was asked, hey, did you talk to Mikal about the struggle?
There wasn't any. You know, I just think this time of the year, the last thing I want to do is crowd anybody's mind. I tell our guys to go hoop. You know, I don't want them thinking about their shots or whatever may be deemed as a struggle. When you put the work in the way these guys have, and we've trusted them all season long, when a guy struggles in the playoffs, I don't want to get in his head. If anything, I want him to continue to shoot. And we have a saying, reps remove doubt. You know, if you get your work in, you can trust your work. And I really don't talk to the guys much if they do have a tough game. I think that's the last thing they want to hear from me.
And no one lost confidence in Mikal. CP3.
I'd be on KO so crazy. You know what I mean? because Kale is just a winner. You know, he's a winner. When we won the Western Conference Finals, I looked at him and I had a flashback of him being at Villanova. You know what I mean? I remember him winning the championship there. And, you know, he's just a winner. He's going to do whatever you need him to do, offensively or defensively. And it's good to see him playing like this.
On some notes, I don't have any information as of yet on Torrey Craig, whose knee was bumped with Giannis when Giannis was trying to pretend he was Marshawn Lynch and get 3 yards or get 2 yards or get 3 inches. The refs got to start calling that. That's an obvious charge. But listen, real quick, before we go to Tony, a couple of things I just want to point out. Jay Crowder, Marquette, winning program. Mikal Bridges, Villanova, winning program. DeAndre Ayton, school in Tucson, winning program. Well, before they all started going to jail. Chris Paul, Wake Forest, winning program. Devin Booker, Kentucky, winning program. Frank Kaminsky, Wisconsin, winning program. Cam Johnson, North Carolina, winning program. Is it starting to make sense now? Devon Carter, West Virginia, winning program. This isn't a coincidence. Yeah, these guys have never been on an NBA stage in the finals. But a lot of these guys have been on the biggest stage possible at the level before. And a lot of these guys stayed more than 1 year. And the ones that didn't, they know where they went to school. Aiden knew where he went to school. Booker knew where he was going to school at. He knew he was a one and done before he even got there. He didn't even start. He was their sixth man. So when everyone says, oh, I'm surprised how these young guys are handling it, don't be. Don't be surprised. Everyone, joining us now is Tony Capobianco, calling the Cave Show with PLR. This call is brought to you by Puro Cigar Lounge. Get in there, one of the great, nice places in Chandler, right off of Boston and Arizona Avenue. Definitely check them out. Incredible bar, bourbon, scotches, great cigar choices, great areas for you to sit and relax. Definitely give them a check out. And a big shout out to them and a thank you for donating to a very good cause that we have going on. My man, Cuban Cowboy, Tony Capobianco. What's up, sir?
I'll be sponsored by Cigar.
Your call is. What do you think of that?
Well, and
scotch and bourbon.
There's not a place called Boston, so Cigar.
Well, that's the street, man. Boston Street and Arizona Avenue. You're killing me. So if you have
fine.
I'm only going to give you one. You got a choice. If you had a choice between a nice scotch, a nice bourbon, or a nice cigar, you can only get one. Which one are you taking?
I'm taking the bourbon and like one of the giant like crystal ball looking like ice cubes that they throw in the glass.
Yo, man, you can't drink bourbon like that. You got to take it neat. You don't want the ice to drink your drink for you.
What's the old-fashioned then? Is that scotch?
No, old-fashioned is bourbon, but that's a mixed drink. You got to muddle and do all that crap. That's different. I'm just talking a nice taste of bourbon, you know? You don't want to put ice in it. Ice drinks your drink.
You can tell I'm one of those people that will just take the drink just to look cool. Just to look fancy and elegant.
I can also. All right, I'm going to help you on the fancy and elegant. When the next time you're somewhere and a bourbon is coming your way and they ask you how you want it, you say, I would like that neat, please. And you do it. Never out of
it's like the drink version of well done.
Almost. Just take it neat.
I want my burger well done and my drink neat, please.
Yes, there you go. So, listen, baseball All-Star game. I said something the other day, and I want your opinion on it. So, DeGrom is not going to pitch. DeGrom is not going to pitch. And someone had sent me a message that said,
They couldn't believe he's in the All-Star game. Why doesn't he pitch? The fans want to see it. Yada, yada, yada. I personally don't give a hoot what the fans want to see. If I'm the GM or the manager of the Mets, and the Mets can actually win that division, I don't want to screw him up and there was his rotation for starting and pitching two innings. He's an All-Star. He has the title of All-Star. So, no, I don't want to change my rotation to have him pitch. Am I being selfish if I'm a Mets fan?
Justifiably so. But at the same time, it's only going to be one inning. Like, he's going to be, if he were to be in the All-Star game, he would be there as a starter. That's an extinction of itself. That means you are taking on the top 3 to 5 batters from the American League lineup. And that can mean one-on-one against Shohei Ohtani, which right there is the moment. But I don't think that the fans are going to miss, they'll miss the fact that he's not there, but they're not going to miss him when the game happens. They'll replace him with another big-name starting pitcher, and the show will go on. In fact, one of my favorite All-Star memory was Aroldis Chapman in 2015 striking out the side in Cincinnati. So they'll find somebody. But it's also one inning. Like, we're all relievers, basically, in the All-Star game.
I heard some Yahoo on some radio station say, well, if you don't want to play in the All-Star game, you don't get to say you were an All-Star. You don't get to say that then. So they shouldn't just not let you go to the All-Star game, and you just opt out, and you don't yada, yada, yada. Well, I for one think that's absolutely asinine because you're still an All-Star no matter what. Because believe it or not, there are pitchers that aren't going to pitch that will be there just because there's not enough innings in the game for all the pitchers. So what difference does it make?
Look, man, if you're not going to pitch at the All-Star game, you stay the hell away from Denver, Colorado. You hear me? I don't want to see you. No one is altitude. You sea level where you blow. Has he not ever heard the Pro Bowl? David Garrard was a freaking – could have been an MVP of the Pro Bowl because half the quarterbacks decided to bounce. Like, this happens all the time. All these All-Star games, but for some reason, basketball is like the only league where like the All-Star game has like perfect attendance. But like all these games have outlived their purpose. In the American League, in the old days, you had, all right, if you're a fan of the White Sox, you are not going to see the Cubs unless you made that treacherous journey. I have no idea why there's a car like honking at me. I'm parked in a garage. And I don't think anyone's in that truck. But anyways, there was no satellite. There was no television except local. If you wanted to see the big red machine and you were a Chicago White Sox fan, this was your only opportunity to see them. But now we have Interleague. Now we have satellite. Now we have MLB Network. We see everybody. But quite the party. It's fun. It is fun to follow on Instagram. It's fun to be there in person. I think Denver is a much better site for an All-Star game than Atlanta was going to be. I think the Home Run Derby is going to be much-watched television. I predict it will be the highest-rating Home Run Derby in at least the 21st century. I also think Trevor Story is going to win that Home Run Derby because, for some reason, the hometown guy always has been winning most recently. And I think it's going to be fun to watch. And it doesn't matter who it is. The Grom can leave. Another pitcher can leave. You might end up with 3 Miami Marlins, and they'll still be fun to watch.
Yeah, I agree. So I got 4 minutes, and I have 2 questions. So
all right.
let's roll with this. Who's the MVP of the game? My money's on Tatis.
I think it's going to be Shohei Ohtani. The American League is probably going to win because they've been winning every time. And if Shohei Ohtani hits a home run over, they're going to get it.
Okay.
Next question. How do you feel about every team has to have a player? I think that rule has come. It's old. Let it go. The best player should be there with one exception. Whoever is hosting the game should always have at least one player. So for marketing and getting their fans involved and making a feel-good story about the home team, I think every other team, if you don't have anyone, why the hell are you there? Look, I like a lot of guys. Talking to them, they seem like really nice guys. They seem really cool. But the Diamondbacks, Eduardo Escobar, he's not an all-star. That team is incredibly bad. Whoever Baltimore is sending, he shouldn't be an all-star. That team is incredibly bad. Just because you have to have a guy, don't like it.
The guy that's representing Baltimore is having a very good season. And
I'm just using this for you. Exactly. I'm just saying.
How do you feel about that? The Pirates have two guys. They're one of the worst teams in the National League, but both those guys
exactly.
are studs. They usually get pitchers. Pitchers usually are the one in the slot where you want to, like, fill those quotas. Like, Herman Marquez is going to be the only National League starting pitcher with an ERA above 3. And he's the only Rockies guy, except Travis Story, who's only here for the Home Run Derby because he's the host. But I like the idea for a fan to say, hey, here's my guy. I hope he does really well. I remember, like 2008 when they were in New York, and the Marlins had Hanley Ramirez and Dan Uggla. And I'm like, every time I saw Dan Uggla off the bat, I'm like, please, just end this game, hit a home run, be the MVP, and to my futility. But I think that's a great concept. I think it's fun to see that happen. But also, these
you're
guys are really deserving. It's not like some bum is showing up there because one of the team has it. Like, that hasn't happened at all.
Okay, so and we only got 30 seconds. Take off the worst person. Take off the worst team. There's somebody on a bad team that doesn't deserve to be, an all-star. But we got to give them one because we're old and we're baseball and we say they have to have one. Like, how do the Sox not have a position player? How do the White Sox not have a position player in an all-star game? And they had one of the best teams in the American League. Anyway, we'll have to discuss this more next week.
By the way, Eduardo Escobar had home runs, beat RBI. That's an all-star.
Yeah, well, Tim Anderson is in 307, and he's not. Go ahead and give him your information.
Maybe he will be now that Correa and Altuve are leaving.
We got to get into that Altuve story, but we literally got 60 seconds against the clock.
I got a podcast called The Road Most Traveled. You can catch it on Spotify and the Sports Cave. And every now and then I'll write an article on the Sports Cave website.
Captain Bianco, Cuban Cowboy, thank you for calling in. Get us at the Sports Cave on the Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Caves with K, sportscave.com. Cave is with a K. And you get me on the Twitter directly at PLR on Sports. Thank you, everyone, for joining. Really enjoyed it. Catch us live every day, 1 o'clock. If you miss us, we are on Spotify and iHeartRadio. The Cave Show is brought to you by thesportscave.com. Everyone, have a safe, enjoyable weekend. Take care of each other. Watch the sun Sunday night. We go up 3-0. That's a wrap. Until next week, everyone be safe. This is the Cave Show with PLR. Tips, bring us home.